In a world of mindless movie cliches, one podcast fights back. Critics are calling it profound, epic, free. Prepare to revisit your video cassette memories of the 1980s and 90s. Behold, it's VHS Rewind.
From Television City in Hollywood, CBS presents Cher. Starring the Lennon Sisters, the Hudson Brothers, and special guest star Red Fox.
I just have to introduce everyone. I mean, this is such a cool intro to a TV show. My name is Mark. You're listening to VHS Rewind. We have very special guests tonight. As per usual, we have Christopher Hassler. How are you, Chris?
Where's my echo?
That's on your end, buddy.
Oh. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, Chris. Thank you.
I was going to go right to Chris Cooling, but David spoke up. So we have David Lawler. How are you, David?
How are you? I'm fine. How are you?
All right. And we have Christopher Cooling. How are you, Chris?
Just fine. Welcome to the CBS Smile Time Variety Hour with Cher.
Dun, dun, dun. I really wish I had background music for everything. You know, it's I love this music, though. I really, it's so like wonderful. And what is that? It's like one of those like cheap little ray guns or something. That's what it sounds like. Listen to that. Wait.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Cher. All right, we'll get to the music in a minute. I wanted to know if David and Chris, if you could mention, talk about your podcasts and the shows that you work on. I know you do writing, you do all types of stuff. So usually I would bring it up, but I think you guys would do a better job at kind of describing your stuff. And I mean, I'm going to go to Chris Cooling first this time because we went to David first.
Oh, my. Hello.
Is this thing on? Hello.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
We might have wildness here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm Chris Cooling, the host of Forgotten TV, the podcast that brings you TV memories of the 70s and 80s, including short-lived TV shows.
Wait, where do you cut it off? Like, what? I mean, will you not do anything in 1990?
Not generally. Not in the main podcast feed.
And nothing 1967. I mean, 69
That's really before the era. I mean, yeah. It's from the era that I can remember. So while I eventually will probably cover a 1970 series that I would only know about from watching the DVD, the era of the 70s and 80s is forgotten TV. There's lots of stuff that influenced that, though. You know, you've got the Twilight Zone. You've got stuff that happened before the 1970 cutoff, but kind of made it a rule of the main podcast. If I do Patreon or something like that later on, I might expand.
You could be swayed with $1,000 contribution
outside the normal feed, retrospectives, or you know, go outside the normal time range. But that's it. Currently looking at Man from Atlantis with Patrick Duffy, the fantastic 1977 series. Yes.
Yeah, your show has definitely grown a lot over the past, I'm going to say just in the past year, but every time I look at it, I'm like, wow, it's just kind of getting better and better and better, and you know, I'm really happy about that.
Can I ask just a shorthand? I mean, do you think these shows hold up?
Yeah. See, that's one
What's
of the
average? TV
shows.
What's the average?
I mean, the shows he's covering, but you're not referencing Cher, are you?
I mean, no. I was whatever show, like Man from Atlantis. The reason I ask is like I was up late last night and a Buck Rogers was on, you know, with what's that guy's name? Gil Gerard.
Yeah, Gil Gerard, man.
Oh, and outside of like outside of the chicks on the show, you know, like Wilma, smoking hot,
beady beady beady,
and that yes, and Tweaky. You know, that show was terrible. I used to love it, but it's...
See, that's one of the things I have sort of encountered some of that with, well, with the current show I'm doing, Man from Atlantis. I mean, that is... I expected something like Manimal to be silly and outrageous, but I think I have never been more disappointed in a series than when I started watching the series proper of Man from Atlantis. Now, they did four TV movies, which were great, and they had higher production. Well, I wouldn't say that, but the writing was better on the four TV movies. But then when they went to series, somebody made a decision that we were just going to be silly and try to emulate Batman or something. And the writing just went to preposterous levels. So some shows don't hold up very well and others do. So it just depends on the show. But you're right. If you look at certain things that were sort of geared toward the juvenile audience, let's say, yeah, you can definitely see some of the holes and limitations of the television at the time.
Yeah. And how often do you release an episode?
I try to get one out every month, but
yeah, that varies
depending on the research and how many episodes it was and what I have to track down and things like that. You know, I just don't want to crank it out just because it's the end of the month and I'm finished and, you know, or it's the time to, I want to make sure that, I've written a good episode.
Yeah, you want to be thoughtful and mindful of what you're putting
not
out
just
there.
Just crank out something that, you know, just half-assed. So, so that's something. And when it's that you're doing evenings and weekends, you know, sometimes it takes 6 weeks to do a show.
Yes.
Wow.
And what about you, Mr. Lawler? What are you up to these days?
Well, I'm with we do a lot of work at Frequent Wire, which produces a bunch of shows. Mainly, we've been working on recently Ship to Ship, Star Trek podcast with David Anderson, and we did this. We did a show with the history of home video. It was a multi-part show, and it was done on video, and that's on YouTube mainly. You can find that. And recently, we did the 40th anniversary of Superman, and it only occurred to me recently we have to do a 40th anniversary show for The Wiz, which was released 40 years ago.
Awesome.
Because it's a kind of a habit in the house. When we put up the tree, we put on The Wiz and we put on the ornaments and we have nachos with cheese and popcorn and it becomes like an event around the house. So I forgot we had to do that. But there was a few things that happened during the year that kind of slowed me down a little bit. But otherwise,
you should do a live. I think you should do a live viewing of The Wiz.
I don't know
with your tradition with your wife, your daughter. You know that'd be kind of interesting, actually.
A live viewing. I've worked with my wife on occasion, and we've also worked with Chris Cooling on a show, and we have a lot of fun. We hope to have more work done next year, though.
Yeah,
It's going to be like the history of cable television is what we're going to work on next.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And even Christopher Hassler over there is getting into the editing bay. Going to be editing the Christmas episode for VHS Rewind this year, I believe.
The Christmas music episode.
Right,
yes,
right.
It's the simplest thing I can do right now.
I really got to say that's one of my favorite things. When you did the first Christmas music show 2 years back, I think. It was wonderful.
That
it
was a pretty good... I like that one.
Great collection of songs.
Thank you. Yeah. Fantastic. This year we reviewed the Osmonds Christmas album, and I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about the way I feel about it, but it will get released in the next couple of days. Poor great. Jimmy. Jimmy. So here we are. We're watching the 1975 Cher special. What is the official name of this? Do you guys know? It's a Cher Christmas special?
It's just an episode of Cher.
Yeah. I mean, it aired on...
75 episode. It was the only, other than Kojak, it was the only new thing on television that night. It was a Sunday evening.
It was running opposite, I believe, the Bionic Man. So it would be kind
on
of
a Sunday? On a Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday, yep. 8 to That's 9. That's right.
Yeah, I pulled up the old newspapers, and yeah, nice. The thing was a repeat, and Cher was the only thing new on. So the bar was low.
So it aired on December 21st, 1975. So, you know, you're kind of getting into the Christmas spirit. And I would imagine this did relatively well. From what I understand, her show did very well in general.
Yes. Very high ratings. And, yeah. And she always had a television presence anyway, because she had the Sonny and Cher show before that. And then she kind of went solo because they were breaking up. And, mm-hmm. and she always had very high ratings.
I think they had just finalized their divorce not 6 months before this aired.
That's right, at the end of June. And this show premiered December 21st. And she had already had a couple of shows on, I think, before this and after the divorce.
But and Sonny had one at the same time, too, didn't he?
Yeah. Did he?
He had a solo.
The Sonny Bono Show. Hey, welcome to the Sonny Bono Show.
And I think it was canceled after like 6 episodes.
Yeah, Chastity never appeared on that one. We know who got custody.
Well, she also had some serious players on her show. She had a lot of guest stars, like Bette Midler, I think, showed up, Elton John. You know, I mean, who's going to turn away from that, especially in 1974, 5, or 6?
Even then, she was going after the gay crowd.
She was.
Which is ironic.
Well, but speaking of Chaz, well, I don't know if he's gay. I'm not going to get into any of that. Okay, so
yes,
I'm
going to
play
off.
No, I mean, I am not going to get too far into it anyway. So,
well, I know a little bit of history about Chaz. But we'll get into that when
we get there.
All right. So we have this first song, which I think is kind of interesting. It's White Christmas. And I'm going to play it. I really like her outfit. Else. I like her hair, her wigs.
She is smoking hot.
Sure if you were going to say that, because I was like, I think she has an amazing body, everything,
my God.
You know.
My God.
The wigs and everything. She knows how to wear it. Her outfits are really actually very incredible. But her acting is very, very loose, and it's very spontaneous, and I don't know how I feel about that. You know, it feels very unscripted.
Well, when we get to the monologue, we'll talk about it.
Well, I wanted to ask first if anybody as a kid, because we're all roughly the same age, anybody as a kid had any exposure to Cher back then. I knew, like, for instance, my mother had a couple of Cher records. The one I specifically remember is Half Breed, because she was like half naked riding on a horse on the cover.
I remember.
That's something you don't forget that.
I'm looking for that right now.
I was busy looking at Tim Conway.
But did anyone know of Cher back then?
I knew of her, but I think it was something like my mom liked. You know, it wasn't really.
I have to say, I mean, I watched the Sonny and Cher show. I can't recall that I, you know, would have thought she was hot. She's certainly not my type.
And no, she's not your type at all, which is what I thought was kind of interesting. She's not supermodel level.
But now I appreciate a long, lithe, tanned body.
It's true.
She's not really my type either, but I found her interesting because I saw her as an all-around kind of consummate entertainer. Like, she can do the singing, she can do the acting. She has, like, all of these talents. And, again, just harkens back to that variety show feel that we had in the 70s.
I definitely did not appreciate her singing. You know, I know she was Sonny and Cher.
Yeah.
When she was solo, I would not have paid much attention to her. You know, some of the comedy stuff that she'll do here is really iffy. She hasn't really matured into the being a good actress yet, able to do this.
Well, Sonny took all of the writers with him to his show. I don't know if you know that. So she was working with a completely new staff.
I recognize no one's names in the credits. Mm-hmm. Usually, you know, you see what's that guy's name that's always on these things? Get Bruce. You know, Bruce
Launch.
You know, I thought he would be here. He wasn't.
Yeah. I recognized George Slaughter. I saw his name in the credits. I know that name.
Okay. I just thought, you know, from all the Donnie and Marie we've done, you know, I just thought we would have recognized some of the writers' names, but I recognize no one.
Humor-wise, I would put this right up there with Donnie and Marie. Maybe even below it.
I think it goes below because the comedy bits here.
They're very weak. Woo. Yeah.
Woo.
But let's let them speak for themselves. I'm going to play Cher's intro song. I don't want to listen to all the music, but I guess maybe we'll see. We'll play it by ear.
You know, but let's just focus on her voice because I really love her voice now. I really do. Yeah, I'm not kidding. And you guys mentioned the there's a later song that's actually my favorite because it's slow. Somebody mentioned it. Children See Santa, or you know,
some children see him.
Yeah, I love that song. What she does with it, I really do.
And the type of voice that she has is referred to as contralto, which I think is it references the lower register of a female voice.
Yeah, yeah, it's a fluttering kind of lower range voice.
It is low,
you know. But it's kind of like jazz. All right. Here we go. Actually, I have Chaz and Dad doing a duet, singing
"I
Got You,
that.
Babe,"
New Year's
Eve, 1987.
I was thinking Crash Test Dummies, the singer of the Crash Test Dummies.
Oh my God! Yeah, I forgot about that guy. All right, here we go.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. Just like the ones I used to know, where the tree tops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Here it comes. Take it off, baby.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
That was a good way to start a show. I like her outfit a lot. That her hair or is that a wig?
No, I think that's her hair.
Yeah.
It looks real. Yeah.
I mean, that's what she's famous for, right? Is like the really long hair.
Really long.
She's not wearing underwear.
Thank God. and she's a mom. So, yeah, I mean, all in all, I'm really happy with the way, you know, just like on More Bad Apples. We always discuss their outfits and the hair and the set and everything. And there's a lot of Santas all around, which is really funny.
They're the musicians. That was
I was playing the saxophone. I'm like, that's weird. But it's kind of weird. Why wouldn't they all be elves, right? And have one Santa? They could all be wearing green, you know, to match her outfit. Anyway, a bunch of drunk Santas.
You know that song came from the Broadway musical of MAME?
Oh, really?
MAME?
We need a little Christmas?
Yes, really? That's where it originated. First performed by Angela Lansbury in 1966.
Wow.
I cannot picture Angela Lansbury doing that.
I'd like to see her in this outfit.
Cher she has a nice ass.
She's a great profile. She's got a nice
everything.
I think she's Armenian, right?
Yes. Sherilyn Sarkeesian. Armenian American, Irish, English, German, and Cherokee.
Oh, you pay. Yes, I am a minority. So let's listen to her monologue. This is basically where it starts. The flaws are starting to. But you know what? I think she's beloved at this point, right? Cher, everybody loves Cher. I think that when the divorce was going through, nobody was really on Sonny's side.
Yeah. I think, you know, if you look at it, I mean, like, Sonny is very much kind of the orchestrator of their career and her specifically. He sure. kind of managed for her. They appeared in a movie called Good Times, which was directed by William Friedkin, I believe. Mm. His first movie, which is just kind of a strange thing. And they also appeared on an episode of The Man from U.N.C.L.E. together.
They did?
Yes.
No way. Holy crap, I didn't know that.
When was it, like 65 or something?
Around that, you know, yeah. Maybe 67, 68, something like that. They were playing like a fictional pair of entertainers, I believe, in that episode.
That's awesome.
But when they divorced, I mean, basically, I think it was cited that Sonny Bono was the one who had been running around, and basically he's kind of, I don't know, there's no particular polite way to put it, but I think he's like a star fucker type, as it were. And Cher kind of had to take care of her and the baby together, so she was kind of viewed as a champion, a kind of a feminist in a way, a feminist over time, taking care of the baby, bringing home the bacon. So she was well respected for that. Sonny wasn't particularly. I guess Sonny went through a period and then wound up becoming a senator at some point.
I think it's funny how she went from Sonny Bono, I almost said Bono, Bono, to Greg Allman.
I know.
To like a biker, you know what I mean? It's like two complete parallel opposites.
She married Allman like several days after the divorce, and then like separated from him 9 days later, and then got back together with him again, and they had that kid, Elijah Blue or whatever.
Yeah, Elijah Blue. I was listening to some of his band's music called Deadzy.
Is it any good?
I'll play a minute of it if you want.
Yeah, give us a little sample.
I'm just gonna choose a random point. Like, I'm not going to.
I completely lost track that she had this other kid.
Here it is.
Drop the needle.
Oh Jesus Christ!
That's the hook. Very Allman Brothers.
Maybe a little Smashing Pumpkins in there.
No, it's too. That might even be a bad example of it. I was listening to a little bit of it before. It reminded me a lot of a rock band, like Marilyn Manson, but more rock, if that's imaginable.
Well, I got a new phrase for you: space metal.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Yeah, like orgy metal. Or something, or POD, that type of stuff.
Wow, he looks so much like Greg Allman.
Yeah, looks just like him. Not in this video, though.
Let me find a picture of
him. Here it is. The Key to Gramercy Park. That's the
I got the key to Gramercy Park.
Ah. Wow.
Believe it or not, I hired this guy to play at Ramiel's bar mitzvah. No, I didn't.
Wait, get out of town.
That'd be hilarious, though. Wouldn't be much.
No, probably not. No. Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of him. He's a dead ringer for a while.
Yeah, he really is. He really is.
He's got those eyes and those eyebrows, yeah.
So I'm going to play the intro for Cher and see where that goes.
Hi, welcome to our Christmas show. How are you guys doing? I see some of our staff has been celebrating Christmas a little bit early this year. Also New Year's and Valentine's Day. And anyway, we got a terrific show for you tonight.
Well, all right!
That's Greg Allman.
I suggest no one smoke around that man. He's a potential fire hazard. Anyway, my guests tonight are the Lennon sisters and the Hudson brothers and Mr. Red Fox.
Pause 1 second.
Yeah.
What are the Hudson brothers famous for? Like,
I have no idea.
They had a variety show.
But okay, why did they have a variety show? Like, who the?
It's like asking why Regis Philbin was famous. You know.
Well, also, I believe that one of them is the father of Kate Hudson with Goldie Hawn. I believe it's Oliver Hudson. I believe
is that the one with the mustache and the long hair that looks like the unknown comic fellow?
It's the one who looks like Kate Hudson, obviously.
Much of their fame, I think, came from these appearances, actually, on Cher and then on Sonny and Cher.
Didn't they have a Saturday morning cartoon, too? Or am I imagining that?
I don't recall that.
I'll look that up. While...
They might have had a variety show on Saturday morning.
The Hudson Brothers show for CBS.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were kind of like, I don't know, like the Monkees or something like that. They were just kind of a goofy band, goofy, you know, comedians that also did music.
Or the New Monkees.
Or the New Monkees. There you go. Yeah. Probably more like the New Monkees.
So here we're going to have Chastity come out. And this is where the whole show starts, you know. You start bringing a copy to your psychiatrist, and I don't know. For me, I think that she's basically telling her daughter, who's, I think, 8 years old, that she's too heavy.
Oh, that, and also, I don't think Cher is the, you know, the kind of mother who picks her kid up a lot. You know, I mean, I really feel
hands her child to her or something.
I really feel bad for Chastity in this show. You know, she's actually being prodded. Like, I feel like there's a gun to her head to come out here, try and do this skit, which starts to die. And Cher even mentions it. She says, "Let's get out of this bomb," or something, towards the end. And then later, when she's tap dancing
I didn't know if that was
temple,
her.
Oh my God! I was like, no wonder. Like, she already looks like a seething lesbian.
She should have dated Jimmy.
I have a question about the broadcast, because this is taken from YouTube, but it was broadcast on a channel called Get TV. What is Get TV? Does anyone know?
They're typically on the sub channels, the digital broadcasted sub channels in your local. And it's like a MeTV or a Comet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching reruns of the Sonny and Cher show, and it was on a channel that no longer exists called Trio. I wonder if Trio had somehow
morphed into
Get TV.
Hmm. It's probably, anyway, they might have changed their names over time, you know.
Well, Trio would show these wonderful shows that are dated that you don't see anywhere else. Like, they would show Laugh-In, they would show the Hudson Brothers, they would show Sonny and Cher, they would show all these kind of like very quiche, decade specific variety shows. And the Battle of the Network Stars, too. They would show
them. Oh, really?
Yeah, they're no longer around.
My cable channel sucks.
You know what I'm on the hunt for right now are the old Ripley, Believe It or Not.
With Jack Palance?
Oh, yeah.
Believe it.
But watchable, you know.
That would be awesome. If you could find that, we should cover that.
Well, I have all those books I just bought.
Oh, and Holly Palance. He would have his daughter on the show, too, Holly. And she was a hottie.
Oh, yeah? She
called her Hottie Palance.
Hottie Palance.
I'm looking that up.
Hottie Palance.
She's a porn star.
Stop!
All right, so...
Here's Chastity, the most showbiz kid without any showbiz chops whatsoever.
I feel bad. She looks like she's trying hard. And also, the writing's on the wall based upon the toys that she's asking for Christmas.
Oh, my God. I saw one of the comments, and it's correct. She's asking for toys boys play with.
Yes, exactly.
But... it's a different time. It was a different time.
You'd ask for a Barbie, you know?
Yeah, they had Barbies.
You didn't talk about that stuff.
Or Kitty Carryall.
I'm thinking Planet of the Apes.
Kitty Carryall was
CBS. Planet of the Apes was a CBS show at the time, I think, at this time. So I thought it was a tie-in to that.
Also, I think Kitty Carryall was just a Brady Bunch, like a fictional toy, by the way.
Wow, Christopher, that is a great catch.
Thank you.
That went over my head.
I missed it. What happened?
He pointed out that it was the Planet of the Apes, which became a 1974 TV series on CBS.
Oh, it's a tie-in.
Basically a plug for the show.
I mean, native advertising, we would call it.
I think it ended by that time, though. Again. I mean, 14 episodes and it ended. But sure, it was a CBS property.
Again, picture this. Somebody put a gun to Chastity's head and say, go out there and say you want a Planet of the Apes treehouse.
Yeah, sell those toys.
And then you want to watch 60 Minutes later.
Say you want a Dr. Zaius Bank.
Those Migos of General Urko are still sitting there at TGIF.
God damn it.
times.
Here we go. Those Osman kids know how to sell stuff. Then you go out there, you sell it. You son of a bitch.
But look how awkward Cher looks, interacts with her kid. I mean, I just don't think she's a good mother.
Yeah.
I can't give an opinion based upon this, but
I'll have to agree with Hapsler here.
For the moment, I think she does a poor job.
As a special added attraction, I have someone that's agreed to do the show as a personal favor to me, Miss Chastity Bono.
Because I put a gun to her head.
Oh, it says here this is the last time that she wore a dress, actually.
Really?
No.
Blue jeans after that?
All right, you want to get up there? Do you need me to help you? Okay.
Basic instinct.
Pretty snazzy, huh?
They're applauding a child getting up on a chair. So just give me a frame of reference. And this girl's supposed to be, I think, 8, right?
No.
Yeah, she was born in.
No, she's barely 6 years old.
Hold on. Pump the brakes.
Oh, okay.
No, I just want to make sure. When was. This is 75, right?
December 21st. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. She's about 5.
All right, now that you're here, what do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
Well, Christmas is going to come here pretty soon. What do you think?
It's neat.
You think it's neat? Do you believe in Santa Claus?
Yeah.
You do, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then we'll play a game.
Oh. Get off there.
All right. Now, you have a good imagination.
Poor Chelsea's like, why is everyone laughing? Or why are three people laughing? Because there's not that many people really laughing in front of her. Just, ho, ho, ho. You know, it's all added later, but... She just looks really confused, kind of like, did I just become the butt of a joke? I don't know.
Either that or she was snorting mom's cocaine.
Maybe. Maybe she got a whiff.
Wait, do you have a good imagination, you think?
I guess so.
All right. Is that stuck on your face? Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right, so.
It can't pull off, huh?
Sure.
Sure, give it to me. Okay. Will this work?
Dead air.
Oh, terrific.
Dead air.
Turn around.
Got my wallet in my hand.
But this is the kind of thing she would do, I think, in her live performances, where she would just kind of stop and be, you know, like, I'm just going to talk to you and just kind of do this. And I think it makes her very human and very personable.
Meanwhile, Chastity is peeing in her underwear.
Yeah, like, why are you talking to Santa Claus who's now taking his beard off? I just told you I believe in Santa Claus. So what is mom going to do? Mom's going to prove you wrong.
Well, they're acting like this wasn't scripted or something. Yeah. Was this not scripted? Or?
Of course it was.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Souls. All right, turn around, because I'm going to do a magical transformation to myself. No, don't look. Wait a minute.
I said,
this
turn
is
around.
Going to be wonderful. Whack. You're going to love this. All right, no. When you look around, I'm going to be Santa Claus, and you're going to be a little... What?
I think I know that.
Oh, okay. Can't fool this kid. All right, I'm going to be Santa Claus, and you're going to be a little girl, and you're going to tell me what you want for Christmas, okay? All right, come around to me.
Okay.
Hello, little girl. What's your name?
Chastity.
Do you want to sit on my lap?
Yeah.
All right, come on up. I feel like the new Price is Right. Wait a minute. Hold on, little girl. Wait, now put your legs over that way. Okay. Now, what can Santa Claus do for you? What do you want for Christmas? Ho, ho, ho. I've been on a diet. It's a little bit lean up at the North Pole. I forgot to wear my wind button, however.
Yeah, I don't get it. What is
some sexual in you.
Hey, I want a new racing car set.
A new racing car set?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. That's what I wanted when I was a kid.
What else do you want, little girl?
She said the new Price is Right, too.
Yeah, that's right.
A little more advertising.
That's a good point.
I want one of those Planet of the Apes tree houses.
Oh, yeah?
Is this a real toy? I don't know if I'm familiar with that.
Indeed.
Yeah? What was it, like $60 at the time?
Planet of the Apes tree house?
Probably pretty good.
Yeah, it was probably pretty good. Probably a playset.
Oh, I see it. It's pretty awesome, actually.
And the Planet of the Apes man.
Well, what do you think of Christmas?
Hmm?
I like it.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite thing about Christmas?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Mm-mm.
You mean I work hard all year, bring you lots of presents and have a good time, and you don't know what you like about Christmas?
Well, I like it.
Guess what? I heard that you made up a song for your mother.
No, I forgot it.
You did? Well, all right. Think you're ready to get off now?
Yeah.
Me too. You're a heavy little girl, and my beard is starting to crumble. All right, get down, and we'll sing our way out of this turkey. Oh, oh, oh.
Oh, yes, we do. At this minute, yes, we need a little Christmas. Right this very minute, we need a little Christmas right now.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
It was good, I guess. I mean, I do feel bad for the little girl.
I don't know. I don't have any sympathy for her. And I don't know why. I feel like,
she was born rich and she was always going to be rich.
Child of a rich celebrity that everybody wanted at the time, you know? It's like, I don't know. I don't know why. I have no sympathy.
Well, did Chastity Bono grow up to be in acting? I didn't follow the career. Did they have an interest in being in the spotlight at all?
Didn't she have a rock band?
Well, I know there was a singer, but
mostly playing himself or herself at the time.
That playset looks amazing. All right.
Right?
Yeah.
I do have a clip here of Chessy Bono and Sonny singing I Got You Babe New Year's Eve 1987.
Hmm.
If you want to hear it, just a minute or two.
Give us a couple bars, yeah.
Same.
I don't know if all that's true. Cause you got me and baby, 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 I got you. Babe. I got you, babe.
She's dressed like one of the Indigo Girls.
Wait, she was still a girl at this point?
Yeah, she's got like the mullet. I like the Indigo Girls. But
Sonny
She might be opening for the Indigo Girls. Yeah, Sonny's got a tux on. You have the drummer of like Winger back there or something like that. And, it's like they have like a couple drum sets back there. I don't know what they were trying to do here. Looks
oh,
crazy.
I see. Okay, I'm just looking at pictures to try and figure out what she looked like as a teenage girl.
This is a teenage girl.
Well, how old is she here? 87, how old would she have been?
Well, if she was six,
Chris Cooling
in 75... She's another. She's like 16 here. 17.
Oh my god, yeah. She looks 40. She does.
A 40-year-old lesbian.
And you know what?
I got you, baby.
The big problem here is that she kind of inherited her father's looks, I would
say.
Yeah.
That's the big shame. That's the crime right there.
It is. It is.
Yeah,
sorry.
Who wouldn't want that, slender, tall body, I want it. Even the Allman Brother guy, it's like even he, he looks like the dad.
I could see there being a swifter transition to masculinity.
No pun intended.
Based on this look, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right, what is next here? We have so much to discuss here.
I don't know. There's
the Hudson Brothers.
No, they're terrible. They're terrible.
Even Red Fox is a dud.
Yeah,
but we
this
have
thing,
to.
Well, we have this Hudson Brothers coming out singing Here Comes Santa Claus, and then we have the first sketch, which is, I guess if you were to take the Night Before Christmas and turn it into a legal case. Santa Claus is on trial.
You mean dummy.
Playing it straight. He's playing it straight as the judge in this piece.
Yeah, I'm going to play that clip, I think. Him as the judge. Who is the painting of behind them? So much weird stuff going on in this. All right, here we go.
Next case. Your Honor, this man was arrested for disturbing the peace. Name of defendant?
Hello, young fellow. My name is Santa Claus. Oh.
Who is the plaintiff?
I am, Your Honor.
Now, just what happened?
Well, Your Honor, 'twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring.
Not even a mouse?
Right. And stockings were hung by the chimney with care.
Why?
Well, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there.
I see now. Where were the children?
Well, the children were nestled all snug in their beds.
Were they asleep?
Yes, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads.
How do you know?
Because it's Christmas.
Good joke. Hilarious.
Get him some coffee. What were you doing?
Well, Your Honor, Papa was in his kerchief and I was in my cap.
Middle of winter and you sleep in just a cap?
Well, we just settled ourselves for a long winter's nap.
Sure, go on.
Well, out on the lawn there rose such a clatter that I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. And away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutter and threw open the sash.
You what?
I threw open the sash.
At the window?
Of course.
Was this crimson cuckoo looking at your window when you threw open your sash?
I wasn't looking in her window, sir. I was out on the sleigh with my reindeer.
I told you to get him some coffee, didn't I? Then what?
Well, Your Honor, then what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer?
Get her some coffee.
Get her some coffee, too.
Well, with a little old driver so lively and quick that I knew in a moment that it must be St. Nick.
St. Nick? What are you, some kind of religious fanatic?
Yes, I'm St. Nick. I'm That's also Chris Kringle, and I'm also Santa Claus.
What other aliases does he have?
I'll check that out, sir.
Now, he was outside your window in his sleigh with his reindeer.
Yes, well, he was, but then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof.
On the roof?
Of right.
Give Happy Cheeks a parking citation.
Well, as I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney he came with a bound.
Breaking and entering.
Right, well, he had a bag full of toys that he'd flung on his back, and he looked like a little old peddler just opening his pack.
All right, fella, what was in that pack?
Well, I had toys and goodies from my home at the North Pole.
Petty theft, probably an illegal alien.
Well, you see, Your Honor, the stump of a little old pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke was encircling his head like a wreath.
Please, Your Honor, may I go now? I have to be in Buenos Aires in 3 minutes.
Keep smoking that stuff, you're going to be there in 2. Could you describe this peeping Tom?
Yes, I certainly could. He had a broad little face and a round little belly, and it shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. And also, with a wink of his eye and a twist of his head, he soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread.
Hold it, lady. This jelly-bellied, illegal alien parks a sleigh with 8 reindeers on the roof in the middle of the night, watches you throw open your sash, slides down the chimney and smokes some Canadian tundra in your living room, and you say you have nothing to dread? Why, you're as crazy as he is.
I'm not finished, John. You see, he spoke not a word and went right to his work, and he filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose, gave a twist of his head and up the chimney he rose.
Lock him up.
Oh, please, I have to spread laughter and happiness all over the world.
Look, I've heard enough. It's Christmas, and I'm going to dismiss this case on the grounds of ridiculous evidence. Now, you, I want you to go home, go back to bed, and keep your sash closed. And you, I want you to stop smoking and stick to milk and cookies. Now get in the sleigh and get out of my sight.
Okay, but Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Yeah. Next case. Defendant calls himself the Easter Bunny, alias Peter Cottontail, charged with hopping down the bunny trail.
Give me some coffee, will you? This is going to be a long night.
So, yeah, that went way long.
Too long.
Yeah, it went way too long. It was like 4 or 5 minutes.
And it wasn't funny at
It had all. Moments. I thought Red Fox. Well, when Red Fox would say, "Get you know,
Red Fox it up."
Yeah, it could have been a lot funny.
You know, a little bit of pot humor there, I guess.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if you want to jump around, but just to stay on Red Fox for a sec, you know, Red Fox is like such a particular talent. You know, if you put him in a what is this? Is rated G? You know, I mean, he doesn't come off. But the, you know, when he comes out later on,
the bigots?
and he sends these wishes, Christmas wishes to all bigots throughout the land.
Yeah,
it's actually rather horrifying.
Yeah, it's pretty
like
brutal.
You just set back race relations by by 20 years. They're gonna come after you tonight, right?
I just don't know what they were thinking when they came up with a lot of these skits. Like, all right, that one reminded me of Night Court or something.
The next one,
yeah.
Life with Laverne, there's no point to it. I don't even get it. Somebody tell me what – that was hard. That was the worst.
Yeah, what do you think – what do you guys think of this? It's 1975. We're looking at somebody on a purple bed with gold – ornamental like headpost, and it's weird. Like, she's clearly like a hippie type, but was there
no,
even
I don't
a movement?
Think she's a hippie, but she's, you know, been around the block. And
right. Well, she reminded me a little bit of Lucille Ball with a little bit of Irie Ryan from the Beverly Hillbillies kind of thrown in.
It could be.
I don't know. I don't know.
It was a recurring character she did. This wasn't a one off thing. I mean, Laverne was a regular, ongoing character. It's like the Mama's Family skit on the show. Yeah.
But Laverne Leshinsky.
She gets visited by the ghosts of three former sailors that, I don't know, she had an orgy with. I was like, what the? And then they just go away, and then that's it. I was like, what the hell was that?
Well, I'm going to play the thing that we talked about with Red Fox with his Christmas wishes
for bigots. Yeah,
that's
really short.
Bigots, it's a word that we haven't heard much of. You know, bigots is bigots is one of those things. Like, for some reason, it's more, you know, it's racist. It's not bigot. You know, bigotry. I don't know. You don't hear people.
It's a word that's not being used anymore, but it's definitely been kind of co-opted by different groups.
It'll come back.
It's rewritten.
It'll be back in rotation.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Red Fox.
By the way, her outfit here is excellent.
And the hair.
Her hair looks like Natalie Portman from The Professional. But the outfit's pretty nice.
She's smoking.
I don't have much of a complaint.
You know, Red recorded 52 comedy albums long before the name of Red.
He wiped his face after she kissed him. I didn't notice that until now.
Sanford became a household word. And you know, I think most of your albums have got words in them that people don't hear around the household.
Yeah, and I just made a new album using some of those same old words, but in a new and exciting combinations. And for you last-minute Christmas shoppers, it's available at local stores and massage parlors throughout this great country of ours.
All right, listen, Red, since it's the Christmas season, I mean, do you have any wishes that you'd like to extend to the audience?
Sure would. I'd like to wish all the children of the world health and happiness.
Well, that's sweet.
And I'd like to wish all the adults of the world peace, love, and togetherness.
Well, that's really sweet, Red. Do you have anything else that you want to say? Any more wishes?
Yes, I have a special Christmas wish for all the bigots everywhere of every color.
What do you wish for them?
I'd like to wish them every bigot a five-car accident with no survivors, a slow ambulance with four flat tires and no spare, a junkie doctor with an $800-a-day habit with an orangutan on his back, and a rusty scalpel in his hand as he's operating on the biggest. In the hospital, it's burning down on top of the operating table and frozen fire hydrants from Alabama to Nova Scotia. Did they ever thaw out muddy water in his coffin? Other than that, Godspeed, and may lightning strike him in the heart 374 times just before some hungry, hydrophobia-filled possums chew through their expensive coffin for something strange to eat. Amen. And a Merry Christmas to all the biggest.
That's very sweet. That's
bizarre, right?
That
wow.
The KKK was watching. They thought, oh, well, we could just jerk off to Cher. And then they see this, and they're like, let's get the crosses.
You know,
let's
get them.
Let's get out there tonight.
David, you know Cher dated Gene Simmons, too, for a period of time.
Yes.
I guess that was after Dwayne Allman, or...
Yeah, it was after,
but I do know they knew of each other since at least 1976, maybe even 1975. But she had appeared on his solo album, and he appeared on her record that when she signed with Casablanca, a song called Guitar Groupie. Get Down, Guitar Groupie, I should say. And, yeah, they were, like, on and off for years, even into the 80s. And,
well, they got into the tabloids with their relationship, I remember.
Yeah, and they would try to get pictures.
Yeah, there's a People magazine cover story on Cher and Gene Simmons. Wow.
And then Diana Ross stole Gene Simmons from Cher and caused a bitter war between those two.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Gene got around. He definitely got around.
Yeah, he has that alleged shoebox full of Polaroids of every girl that he's banged.
I think it was a refrigerator box.
Yeah, I'm sure it was at this point. Yeah, I think in the 80s it was a shoebox. Now it must be. So do we want to hear the Lennon Sisters? Do we dare?
They're interesting. I've heard of them, but I don't know much about them.
I never heard of them at all.
Chris, do you know anything about the Lennon Sisters? Cooling?
Yeah, they are from a family of like 11 kids. Mainly from the 40s. They were big on the Lawrence Welk show, which was super popular among the people I hung out with in this era.
Right.
It's the Lawrence Welk show every day. I mean, no, I don't really know a whole lot about them, although it was because they were definitely trying to appeal to the wide range of age groups with these types of shows for the whole family. So they would have somebody that was more well known, perhaps, to the older people in the audience.
What is Cher's, like, why choose the Lennon Sisters with Red Fox? It just doesn't really kind of make any sense at all.
Who's available?
I don't know.
I think that, I think you get, you try to, I mean, some of these variety shows got a little crazy with the range of guests that they would have on. And very much, I think it was an effort to appeal to the older people as well as, younger viewers.
You know, Chris Hassler and I, talking a bit about variety shows in general from the era. And that's something I'll just make the announcement now is that, More Bad Apples is going to transition into more of a variety show. It's going to, although we're going to still cover Osmond stuff, we're going to begin, covering, like the Network Stars and all of these kind of weird, bizarre variety shows of the 70s and 80s.
It was a big deal, I guess, when you had your movie stars, you had your television stars, and then put them into some kind of like either a variety show or some kind of a competition.
It's bizarre.
I mean, watching William Shatner rowing a boat against
Gil Gerard
against Gil Gerard, you know, it's like there was an appeal. There's a nostalgia to that. Man, these people were stars. You know, it's not like I guess today they tried to do a kind of a reboot of the Battle of the Network Stars. It failed miserably because these people, I feel like actors now are bred, and they're bred specifically to become actors and entertainers, mm-hmm. and they never had any life experience before. I mean, all these people share, to name one, you know, Red Fox. These people had lives. They had jobs before they became famous. You know, plus, they had to pound the pavement.
They were important to people. It seems stars seemed as though they were just important to the everyday person back in these days. And
yeah, they were untouchable. They were given fake biographies so that you never knew anything about their personal lives. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like they were kind of like our royalty. Mm-hmm. That's how they were seen.
And you know, I really did care whether, you know, Alan Alda or Gil Gerard were going to win a boat race.
My money was on Gil.
No, we did put Scott Baio on a pedestal, didn't we?
We did. We absolutely did. Yeah, we did. Chachi, baby.
Oh man! All right. So, do we want to hear the Lennon Sisters?
Yeah, let's listen to a little bit. And as they're singing so sweetly,
Chris has a very funny thing for us all to keep in mind.
Yeah, let's all just think about which one we would bang because I have a milfy one I like.
Well, I've got the video here and I'm looking at it.
All right, here we go.
See me, Gia.
Oh, what is Cher wearing? I know, David, you have a comment about the hair.
Oh, yeah.
The boots can work.
She's got these wonderful Princess Leia pigtails going before they're tied up in the back. And then she's got like this kind of like half thing that's going down to the nape of her, right above her, where her boobs would be. She's really, actually, she looks cuter here, I think, than in any other ensemble. I don't know why. She's got, maybe it's the dirty old man in me or something.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe you have that appeal, like where you're looking at, you see her shoulders and stuff like that. But I mean, it's definitely showing more skin than the other outfits.
She's really not my, she's not the my first,
team, but, you know. More than the first outfit, you like this one?
Yeah, I think so, because she has very nice skin.
She does.
She has lovely skin. She's got, and I don't know, those pigtails are just too damn cute.
Yeah.
And she's want to say, though, this is a tribute to the songs of Alfred Burt, who wrote 15 Christmas carols between 1942 and 1954. He died of lung cancer in 1954. This guy kind of like, he kind of popularized the Christmas Carol in that way.
That's interesting. But all right, here's the song. But yeah, her outfit I find very
strange.
It reminds me of like a 1940s baseball outfit, like the Knickerbockers or something. It's just a strange outfit to me.
That's basketball.
What did the baseball guys wear?
Jerseys and
but didn't they have kind of these weird pants?
Well, they had these kind of like and long sock stirrups around the socks.
I was thinking this is the kind of thing that the hot chick from Beverly Hillbillies would wear. Somebody mentioned Beverly Hillbillies before, and I was like,
"What was her name?" Not Marilyn. Like riding
boots. They look kind of like riding boots, but yeah. They're going up to like this weird, and the pant portion of it is stuffed into the boots and everything.
The boots are great, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go. They look like jeans boots.
Yeah, a little bit. Kiss boots.
The beautiful song that you're listening to right now is called Caroling, Caroling, and it was written by a very special man, Mr. Alfred S. Burt. Al Burt was a composer and a musician, and he so loved the Christmas season that every year he would write a Christmas carol and then give it to his friends as a Christmas present. And when he died, his friends got together and published all of his Christmas carols so we would be able to enjoy them. And in the past 20 years, they've become favorites around the world. Right now, the Lennon Sisters and I are going to do two of our favorite Al S. Burt songs.
Long years ago, on a deep winter night, high in the heavens, a star shone bright. While in a manger, a wee baby lay, sweetly asleep on a bed of hay. Jesus, the
You know, that color is the exact color on the tab can. I know. It really is.
Was that baby so small? Lay down to sleep in a humble stall. Then came the star and it stood overhead, shedding its light round his little bed. Dear baby Jesus, how tiny thou art. I'll make a place for thee in my heart. And when in heaven a star I see, ever and always I'll think of thee.
I need to stop for a second. No, am I the only one that is a little too distracted by the fact that the two women on the left have the same exact dress, and the two on the right have two completely different dresses, and the woman all the way to the right, it's a completely different shade of red.
Is it a different shade of red?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it.
And
I don't know. The two in the middle,
yeah,
the blonde and the
Granny?
The darker one, darker haired one. I don't know. They remind me of my mom for some reason.
You know what? Out of all of them, I choose the one all the way to the left because I think it's the only hairstyle my mom didn't have.
Really? I agree. Like, the one on the left, definitely.
I'm doing the one all the way on the right with the volume problem.
You would have liked my mom then. all right, so let's just share going. Yeah, I find it distracting that they couldn't all have the same exact material and style.
Maybe it's the lighting.
No, I don't think so, because I noticed it the whole time.
I see the plunging necklines are different, yes.
Yeah, you know what? That's what you're looking at, is that plunging neckline.
Are they all really sisters?
Maybe in Jesus they are.
Okay.
His name is Horowitz. I'm not sure.
To John Lennon either. I looked it up.
I don't know what they're trying to pull with that one. I came here I was hoping Yoko would show up.
I was hoping it's Christmas, and what have you done?
I'm getting a couple screenshots here. Also, can anybody discuss, like, the canned laughter and applause? Like, it is a bit much.
It is. This is the bit where Cher is attacked by the giant mutant poinsettias.
I have to admit, though, I fast-forwarded
it's the best song, best performance.
All right, I'm going to try to absorb it.
Baby Jesus born this night. Some children see him lily white, with tresses soft and fair. Some children see him bronzed and brown, Lord of heaven to earth come down. Some children see him bronzed and brown, with dark and heavy hair.
I like the microphone too.
Yeah, it's very Donnie Murray.
Yeah.
Some children see him almond eyes. Savior
his eye. Some children see him on an eye with skin of yellow hue.
Scrubbing those low notes.
Some children see him dark as day. Sweet Mary's son, to whom we pray. Some children see him dark as day, and oh, they love him too. The children in each different place will see face like theirs, but bright with heavenly grace and filled with holy light. Oh, lay aside each earthly thing, and with thy heart as offering, come worship now the infant king. 'Tis love that's born tonight.
So, yeah, that was a good song.
This song was covered by a few people, actually, looking at it. On YouTube, it was covered by James Taylor, Alison Krauss, Kenny Loggins, Kenny Rogers.
Nice guitar playing, too.
James Taylor. Oh, Andy Williams.
Andy Williams.
Andy Williams.
But oh, did Sixpence, Sonny Bono do it?
Sixpence None the Richer.
Chaz, what's his last name? Bono.
That was done in that kind of arrangement when it was originally written. Carols generally tend to be a little more jaunty than that. This was kind of sad sounding, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of makes me want to open my wrists.
So Cher sings a song about how different people see different Santas. All of her songs are over 3 minutes long, which I think is bizarre. it's not very TV friendly.
I'd rather that than these damn skits like this next Red Fox one.
Oh, Elmer the Elf, right?
Oh, do you want to see Elmer the Elf?
Outside of the Sammy Davis quip.
And his lines are written literally as cue cards that he's reading.
He's probably loaded.
And then they do this visual effect, which is interesting because I was watching Fred Claus with Vince Vaughn. It was on TBS. They've been playing constantly. And they've been using the same effect where, like, everybody's really huge and these little elves are tiny.
Now, Sever and Son was doing very well at this point, right? Or was it, like, beginning to decline?
What?
No, Sanford and Son ran
Sanford
from
and Son.
1972 through 1977 on NBC.
But this is a CBS show, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. It was before the big competition between the networks, I guess. Not really, though. I mean, it's kind of unorthodox, really. Isn't that right, Chris?
No, I think they would have done
different
this.
Different Chris. I was talking to Chris Cooley.
Oh, sorry.
Mr. Cooley.
I thought they had a wide range of guest stars on lots of these shows.
Yeah, I mean, was there a lot of floating between networks? I mean, I couldn't see. I don't know.
I think we're going to find that out when we go more into that when we do our variety show.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, Red Fox is a guest star. You know, I mean, he's promoting a show that's doing well. I mean, it would remain on the air for another 2 years.
Yeah, she usually had on movie actors and singers instead of people that had a current television show. I think you're right there.
Yeah. But, you know, either way, I mean, maybe it was just kind of a one-off type of thing. But I find that, I just don't think it's very conventional. I remember even when I was a kid, when Different Strokes was about to go off the air, and I believe ABC purchased it, and it went from NBC to ABC or vice versa. I forget what it was, but that was a really big deal.
It was a big deal for the time.
I don't know if you kids remember that.
There was that. There was also, well, I think Taxi was also like that too. Taxi started off on one network, and then it was picked up for one more season in its final year, I believe.
What? Yeah, and then they brought in Balky.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, they didn't. But Cousin Larry. No. So, all right, I'm going to play this next skit of Red Fox.
Hi, I'm Elmer the Elf. I run things here at Santa's Workshop. This year, I took care of all of Santa's VIP lists. We got great things, like a water pick for Howard Kinsale.
Wow. Yep,
Jackie Onassis earned extra money at Christmas time. A gift from Sanford and Son. And here's something nice. Something for Beretta. Oh, nice. Something for Beretta. Very chic. A battery-powered parrot warmer for his bird. And this is terrific. For sure. A tablet of marriage license. Each one made out to whom it may concern. And look, don't forget Archie Bunker. He hasn't been a good guy, but I got a year's subscription for him to Ebony Magazine. Fun-filled vacation at the Harlem Hilton. And for President Ford, an alphabetical listing of all the Democrats who are running for president. Oh, looky. A carving knife for Yul Gibbons.
Anybody know that reference, Yul Gibbons?
Wasn't he like the, he did a serial, didn't he?
Yeah, was he an Olympic guy, Yul Gibbons?
Yul Gibbons. He did like a serial that was, oh, it's Yul, E-U-E-L-L.
Here we go. Listen.
I'm Yul Gibbons. Many consider me an expert on natural foods like cattails. Yes, they're edible. I look for natural ingredients in my food. That's why grape nuts is part of my breakfast. This is a wholesome cereal made from wheat and barley. These natural ingredients are baked into crunchy nuggets and fortified with 8 essential vitamins. Its naturally sweet taste reminds me of wild hickory nuts. I call grape nuts my back-to-nature cereal.
Ugh, tastes like sawdust.
He sounds a little bit like Red Fox there.
You know what?
Yeah, I'm Yul Gibbons.
I think Yul Gibbons is killing it with the comedy on his thing versus Red Fox.
Mm.
Like, how out of breath is Red Fox here? I mean, he's just like out of control.
He's wasted, more than likely.
And for the president of Exxon, $5 worth of gas. Earl Butch, a $3,000 loaf of bread.
I don't get that one.
What was that?
I don't get that one. Earl Butch, who's that?
Secretary of Agriculture.
Economic humor. Yeah.
You guys are smart. I wouldn't have known that.
Earl Butts. Imagine you remember that name, man. Mr. E. Butts. That guy. Like that guy.
And for CBS. For CBS. For the CBS censor. A pencil and a note telling him what to do with it. Oh, goody, goody, God. Look, here's a present for Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali's sleeping tablets. Here's a gift for Raquel Welch's neighbor. To Cody Fields, industrial strength pantyhose.
Does anybody know that guy?
Dodie Fields? That's a lady.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Hollywood Squares.
Oh.
Broke Dean Martin's lunch bucket. And here's outdoor plumbing for the Waltons. Oh, for Abe Beam, the mayor of New York, the answer to his money problems. Good luck, Abe. Stick him up, New Jersey. Here comes the jolly red giant.
Well, is everything ready to go?
All set.
Well, you've been a very good elf. So I'm giving you some time off to enjoy your holiday vacation.
Oh, thanks, Chief.
Happy Hanukkah, Junior.
He gets me mixed up with Sammy Davis.
Wow. It had a couple moments.
I hate to say this, but I think Kevin Hart is funnier than Red Fox here in this situation.
Wow. Whoa.
Controversial.
Yes, Kevin Hart. And I don't find Kevin Hart all that funny.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, is Kevin Hart funny?
I've never seen his stand-up.
He's mainly a lot of like really off-color stuff. He's very similar to Red Fox. He owes a lot of his career to Red Fox. He kind of rips him off, you know.
I know I saw the movie with him and Will Ferrell, and I thought Will Ferrell was funny, but I don't recall Kevin Hart being funny.
Yeah.
So the next thing is the complaint line, department store's return line, which I think it's not horrible, but there's one guy who comes up and he looks like Sonny Bono.
No, that's one of you know who I
yeah,
thought
who is
that
guy?
Was. I thought it was the guy who plays the unknown comic because I thought he also like started on these variety shows. Mm-hmm. I can't Murray Langston, but he's actually one of those Hudson Brother guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the Lennon sisters pop up on the line too.
He ran out of people.
Yeah.
So here we go.
Oh, I want to say also, Cher, Cher's hair and her dress reminds me of Sean Young in Blade Runner.
Nice.
Oh my God.
That's a good one. I see
that a lot, yeah. Good call.
I'm in a hurry.
I can't hear you. I'm out to lunch.
You're sitting right here.
All right, come on next. What's your complaint?
I have this watch. I want to exchange it for one that works.
That's impossible.
Why?
Because we don't have any watches that work. Next!
I bought this album by the Carpenters, and it's warped. And it's broken now. Look, it's broken now. I demand satisfaction.
Yeah, well, you want that. It's in the record department. It's by the Rolling Stones. Get out of here. Next!
I bought this clock, and it ticks so loudly, I can't sleep at night.
Try sleeping during the day. Next!
Yeah, I bought this hat, and it's a two sizes too big.
You know, you have the most beautiful voice I've ever heard.
10-4. You give me a swelled head.
Good, now maybe your hat'll fit. Next!
Exchange this bird. It doesn't talk.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll have to have him put to sleep.
Don't do that.
Works every time. Next!
I saw the slot machine bank, and I filled it with $20 worth of change, and there is no way to get it out.
Really? Let me see. Here. It's part of this. Customer. Next!
Yeah, my ex-wife bought me these pajamas and they're much too loud.
Yeah, well, we don't guarantee a volume control on our pajamas. Now get out of here.
No, wait, you're not getting out that easy. What do you take me for?
I don't take you for anything, sir. We exchange things in this department, not people. Now get out of here.
Look, my wife and I just got into camping and she gave me this and I feel real dumb because I don't know what it is.
Well, sir, maybe this will help you.
What is it?
Sir, you can't stand there and tell me that you're that dumb.
Yes, I can. I can prove it. I'm standing here.
Yes, you are.
And I am that dumb.
Yes, you are.
And I rest my case.
Well, sir, let me tell you something. It's a boat, so why don't you take it and just shove off?
You big dummy.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
He is walking like he's some real problems. I don't know. The next clip is over 7 minutes long.
And the only good thing is the second song, Santa Baby, when Chastity comes out and tap dances. And
I'm the tap dance boy. I mean, girl.
Out there and
this is a very big, elaborate, it's old-style radio orchestra. I remember there were similar pieces on Saturday Night Live at that time where they would do this old-style kind of big, jaunty kind of spectacular thing going on. Money was spent on this show.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live did this?
Yeah, they did this kind of thing. They would do this NBC orchestra thing, and they would have the girls out there, you know, Gilda, Lorraine, and Jane singing, and Dan Aykroyd doing this MC thing that Red Fox does here.
Wow.
Hmm. What should I play from this?
I would just do, because I don't want to hear the Hudson Brothers and Red Fox singing. Yeah.
All right, so
wait, let me get there too.
We're going to get right to where Chastity tap dances, basically. with a blonde wig on.
Well, no, this is start.
What?
This is where the song starts, and then Chastity will come out in a little bit.
All right, yeah.
Thank you very much, you crazy kids. Well, if you just tuned in, this is Ivy LaTouche and his Swing Time Santa Loonies coming to you from the most expensive club anywhere, the Breadline Room of the lovely Hotel Depression. Warmth and humor. Here comes that pale frail with the sweet beat, that game dame with the cold nose.
She's not pale. Talking leatherhead.
Isn't she? That outfit is very, a little revealing.
Yeah, it is very revealing. It's very, like, 20s style. And how tall is Cher? Does anyone know? It's pretty tall, right?
Taller or than the Lennon sisters.
Like, yeah,
I want to ballpark it at about maybe 5'8", 5'9", maybe.
I'm going to go to the Book of Knowledge. Be right back.
Luez, backed up by those rollicking rockets of rhythm, the Doodle Sisters, Yankee, Dipsy, Cocky, and Daffy. Think about that, folks. Here they are asking the musical question, Santa Baby?
Hey, Fatso, what's in your bag? Hey, Fatso, don't be a drag. Ho, 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 well, you must be a dumb if you think I'll accept all that junk. No! Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Well, well, well,
you Santa cutie, one little thing I really do need, the deed. Two egg flattened a man, Santa cutie,
so hurry down the chimney tonight. All right, all right, all right. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations by the Tiffany.
I really do believe in you.
Let's see if you believe in me, Santa baby.
Forgot to mention one little thing.
What's that?
A ring.
She don't mean on the phone, Santa baby.
So hurry down the chimney tonight.
Santa Claus is coming.
God.
I just want to mention, notice their outfits are perfect. You know, like each one is wearing the same one except for Cher in the middle, and it's supposed to be that way. I don't get it. I think that earlier, those red dresses were a disaster. Kind of ruined the entire show for me.
Todd, whose toe-tapping chicory has tantalized, tantalated, and traumatized towns from Toronto to Tampa, and our own Teresa Twinkle.
Teresa Twinkle or Tinkle. Nah. Bizarre. And you see the people like sitting in the audience? Like, who are these people?
You're doing it wrong.
Dance!
Dance!
pretty good song, right?
Right, and again, can I just focus on Cher's versatility here? I mean, after that gospel-y see the children, see him or whatever, mm-hmm. and now she's doing this 40s, jazzy thingy. Yeah. I mean, she's real. I just love her voice. I think she's really good.
Yeah, she has a very solid voice.
So
we're going to wrap it up now. We're going to go right to Silent Night. Are you guys doing caroling or Chris, don't you do that with your daughters?
Yeah, we do go around the neighborhood. And
that's where I turn off my lights. Beat it.
You're again.
We're Jewish.
You know what? You should give a heads up so I can get the hose out and pour water all over the front of the walkway.
Is there any Hanukkah songs I can teach the kids that are, you know, easy and
dreidel, dreidel, dreidel? No, Hanukkah's over tomorrow. So,
there's the Hanukkah song, the Adam Sandler song.
That's true.
Here comes Hanukkah, so much fun.
By the way, Cher is 5'9", so you were about right there.
Holy cow!
Well, I don't know. I was thinking because those heels that she's wearing are probably doing more.
She's also 72 years old right now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right now,
and had massive plastic surgery.
Yeah, well, I mean, even this, she had the nose job. I think she had her teeth fixed at this point.
Wait, I got to see what Cher looks like today.
It's not pretty.
Looks like the Planet of the Apes. Oh wait,
you can definitely see that she did some. Yeah, you can see the work.
Yeah,
but she doesn't look as terrible as I thought she would look, and her lips are kind of weird.
It was done. It was money well spent. I thought.
I guess. I don't know. I just let people age gracefully. That's what I'm into.
I also want to give Get TV a little bit of a plug here. Because at 10 p.m. tonight, right now, the Johnny Cash Christmas show is on.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, like, it's pretty badass. I mean...
Mark, do you get the channel?
No. I don't get cable. I canceled cable.
Oh, right. Okay, well, it says that they have the channel in New York, courtesy of Smithtown, but I'm not quite sure.
I wonder if it's a public thing.
It's a broadcast channel, yeah.
But does that mean that I can get it with a regular antenna? Yes, or maybe, yeah. Hold on, I'm going to tell you right now.
It's like MeTV, where it's local for part of the day, and then they switch over to that channel after a certain time. So,
well, that depends on your market. I mean, in some areas, it's whatever the network feed is all day long.
Well, here it's in Middletown, New Jersey, and we get the channel over here. But I'm not sure about Get TV. I would like to check.
Yeah, they have go to Get.TV.
They're owned by Sony Pictures, so they have the entire Sony library.
Wow.
So that's where they get much of their content.
There's a whole bunch of these channels now. You got Antenna, you got Comet, you got Me, you got this Get TV, you got there's another one too. I forget the name of it.
These are all New York based?
No, I think you can get them anywhere. It depends on if your cable provider purchased it.
Seriously, they have daily Good Times, daily Sanford and Son. The Steve Harvey Show. I don't know who's watching.
Ugh.
All in the Christmas Family, Married with Children. Stewart. Say it again, David.
A Christmas Carol with Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, there you go.
Seems to be playing right now. Some movie with Jim Cattrall and Kris Kristofferson.
It's all and the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour on December 11th at 2 a.m. with Telly Savalas.
No. Yeah.
The bald, the Q. So,
Airwolf, All in the Family, Blue Thunder, Designing Women.
David, do you have any Christmas traditions that you're getting ready to do?
Well, we already put up the tree. What we do around Christmas and toward into New Year's for the past few years is watch all the Star Wars movies in chronological order.
Mm-hmm.
And we've added two movies to the collection this year. We're in... Solo and The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And we're going to watch all of those, even the crappy ones.
I've never seen a crappy one, actually.
Well, I picked up the despecialized edition.
Yeah, that's a really good version.
It's the one I prefer to watch from now on. I got it on Blu-ray. Don't ask me how. I know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy because it's apparently a crime, but not technically.
It's more Blu-ray.
Blu-ray.
Mr. Cooling, do you have any upcoming traditions that you kind of do for the holiday season?
Well, a lot of times we watch Krampus. There's
that's a good one.
It's a movie. The other one is the fantastic. Actually, there's two great ones. One is the fantastic 1959 film Santa Claus that was imported to the United States by K. Gordon Murray.
Oh, was that the Mexican one?
Yes.
Yes.
Santa Claus that enslaved the world's children to produce toys, and he fought the devil. Yes, it's a great movie.
Wait, he enslaves the world's children to make toys for who?
For the children of the world, evidently.
Or the children of hell.
For the collector's market.
Yeah, it's a great, it's fantastic. Yeah, you've probably seen.
I think I've seen parts of it. I never sat and watched it.
It was on Mystery Science Theater. That was where it really became well known.
Yes.
In the modern day. But there's great scenes. You know, it's wrong to steal. Yes, the narrator versus the devil.
But Davey.
another one is, what is it? Santa Claus versus the Martians.
That's a good one. I love that one.
We watched both of those last year. Conquers the Martians.
Yes.
And that's the one that ends with the song that has the bouncing dot at the end so that you can sing along.
Yes.
Hooray for Santa Claus.
I love a good bouncing dot.
Starring Pia Zadora.
Really?
Yes, that's right.
I love Pia Zadora's name.
Those are two great movies, and I think Rip Tracks did that one. So if you have to do them, if you have to watch them in a Rift version, they're both available that way.
I do want to just also give a shout out to Chaz Bono. And I guess this would be the time if you want to say anything about it. I mean, clearly Chastity transitioned to a male. I'm not really sure. In the 90s,
it's a bizarre story. In 1985 is when he did, when he started identifying as a woman. Born a girl, as we know. Referred to himself as a transgender man. Now, she was outed, basically, as a lesbian by the tabloid press, and then identified as a lesbian, but then began undergoing female-to-male sex reassignment surgery because the only thing I could come up with is that he thought that homosexuality was wrong. So therefore, he must change himself to be a male, to be with women or something like that. People have their own specific reasons for why they undergo these procedures. This I found very interesting, that he did not want to be a lesbian. He would rather be a heterosexual male. So he changed himself to that.
From what I understand, he isn't loaded like we would expect him to be. He doesn't have a tremendous amount of money from Sonny and Cher. So, you know,
hate him?
I don't think so. I think they have a relationship.
Well, and Cher is very active in the LGBT community. She's an activist, and he is too. So, you would think there would be some kind of unity on that front, at least.
He gets her on the guest list easily. But I know there's an article going back to 2011 where it was talking about where he's trying to save up money. This is when he was on Dancing with the Stars to get some form of transition surgery, penile reconstruction of some sort.
I don't know how.
I don't know enough about this stuff.
I can't even imagine. I mean, I can imagine it the other way, but I can't imagine it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I feel for these people who, they don't feel like they are themselves, and they have to undergo these changes. But, as long as they're happy, it doesn't really bother me. It doesn't affect me in any way. It's just a matter of, it was very publicized. So that's who he is now. Now he's Chaz Salvatore Bono.
You can look for a clip of Bill Maher talking to Chaz from earlier this year.
Oh, yeah?
Was he on Real Time or something?
Yeah.
Is he tap dancing? I wonder if he, I wonder if he still has those tap dancing chops. You know, when they get together for Thanksgiving every year, I read this somewhere. No, I didn't read this, but Cher's always saying, well, why don't you just tap dance for us?
Like, why don't you tap dance for us?
why don't you show me some of that wing?
I think you're doing it better than I am.
I don't think I'm just.
You're kind of doing it. You're doing it personal to lips when they talk.
I'm really just talking like I have a stroke.
According to this, it says they had reconciled in 1996, a year after he came out as a lesbian. She came out as a lesbian or something. She was really kind of upset, I guess, at first, but then he got her into the LGBT rights activism. So,
and we did mention Elijah Blue Allman, and.
Blue who?
Oh. He blew who? Now, check this out. He dated Bijou Phillips, Heather Graham, Kate Hudson, and Paris Hilton.
Who's got a type, I guess?
Not at the same time.
No.
Kate Hudson. Fun.
Yeah, Kate Hudson
has slept with more people than Gene Simmons has.
Maybe.
I'm willing to bet. Kate never did anything for me. Heather Graham, on the other hand.
Yeah, I liked her in Boogie Nights. That was her.
It's what you call a lucky son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Really? Fuck. I got to be a musician. I should have been a musician.
But he, well, you have to be born to a rich musician.
Oh, that's right.
Born to a rich
musician. Because I'm a musician. I'm not getting any, you know, Heather Graham. I mean, unless I'm like a limo driver or something.
Whatever happened to her?
I don't know. Where's Heather Graham?
She pops up every now and then.
This is where the show kind of, you know, starts devolving into other things. She's 48 years old.
Heather Graham?
Yes.
Wonder what she looks like.
Oh, she's still hot.
Is she?
She's got to be, right? She'll never be ugly.
No, she's gorgeous.
I don't know.
Oh, dude, she gained like 80 pounds. No, I'm just kidding. That's something you're not, it's not going to happen. You just know it's not going to happen with her. Let's see, is there heathergraham.com or something?
She's riding around in the snow.
Oh, she's still lovely. Forget
she's
it.
On Twitter.
She survived sleeping with the Coreys.
Oh, yeah? That's, well. Yeah, she's still looking
I think she was in License
right.
to Drive, right? Wasn't she?
Was she? I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was in that Corey Feldman, Corey Haim movie or whatever.
Yeah, she Let's see. There's she has a movie coming out. She's playing Cammy in a movie called The Rest of Us. It's in post production, and
oh,
she was
God.
In the Get Shorty TV series.
Oh,
good God!
As well as Bliss, which I never heard of. Half Magic. She played Honey, and she apparently did soft porn. She did not. I'm kidding.
No, but come on, man! Don't
no. There is sir. A no. There is a movie where if you get the unrated edition. It's all about a 9.5 weeks type of relationship where that she has with a murderer.
What?
It's called Killing Me Softly, and if you want a Heather Graham travelogue, that's the movie to see.
All right.
Killing Me Softly.
Let's also mention that there is a Broadway show devoted to Cher and her story. Mm. Mm. It's on Broadway right now. I don't know how long it's going to be open for. It got terrible reviews. What the hell
cat?
Was that?
That's my cat.
Yeah.
One of my cats.
Cher is also somebody who came back like 4 times, right?
Yes.
She's like the Rolling Stones with popularity. It's like she kind of vanishes, it comes back. But she had some tremendous songs.
I was just thinking about that. Do you believe in life after love?
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I can see something inside myself.
I can get the karaoke version if you want. I'm going to go right into the song.
No matter how hard I try.
Can you do that kind of effect, Mark?
Yeah, it's just a It's just a pitch corrector. You know, it's a pitch corrector. And she was the first person to use it like this. You know, all the hip hop, nobody was doing it before she, her producer did.
It's part of the song. It's part of the style of the song, but she didn't need it because she can hit all those notes. They did it because it sounds cool, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It's being used purely as an effect.
Now it's being overused. It's like everything sounds like that.
Yeah, it's like ridiculous.
Right. And plus, you don't even know when it's being used because it's
gotten better. Yeah.
Very slick.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you guys. You know what? I'm going to play this last thing, then I'll say my thank yous. So here's a little Silent Night, I believe. Chassis looks like Harpo. I swear that wig.
Ouch.
Is, oh my god.
Well, that's our Christmas show for tonight. I'd like to thank my terrific guests, the Lennon Sisters, the Hudson Brothers, the one and only Mr. Red Fox.
Bring them out again. All right.
God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas, and I love you. Good night.
She looks sedated. There's something up with that kid.
Also, I had the funniest feeling that this was lip-synced, because some of them, their mouths are not moving. Some of the Lennon Sisters are not
singing. Chastity's not singing, that's for
that
sure.
Microphone that she's supposedly singing into is such a piece of garbage. I can't imagine that you'd be able to hear Cher as clearly as we're hearing it. But I swear, Chastity just looks sedated and out of it to me. I think it's probably 4 a.m. or something. They don't care.
And mom's going out after this, so go with the nanny.
Chastity, make me another martini.
Chastity, you want to meet Greg?
You want to meet your new daddy? Oh, man, that's terrible. You know what? The guy's got some demons he's dealing with, you know? I wish him the best.
Me too.
Oof. It's not something I would want to trade places. Although I'd love to be Cher's kid, you know? Personally, I'd be able to deal with it a lot better, I think. Not that he didn't. you know what? I'll just leave it at that. All right. The cat's like, shut up. That's Mark at VHSRewind.com. And, I want to thank David Lawler. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us and watch this show.
Thank you for having me. Happy holidays to you and everybody and your families.
How old is this episode? This is 40 years old, right? 40 some odd more. 43 years old. Yeah, 43 years. Jeez.
I thought it was a kind of a nice show. What? Not really funny. Some of the singing was good. It had really good production values. It looked expensive. Mm.
It was the only thing on that night, so we'd watch it.
I still would have watched Bionic Man, probably.
Especially if it was the Bigfoot episode.
Yeah, that would have been a Sasquatch, you know.
Can we find that effect? Can we find that sound effect, the Bionic sound?
Yeah, we'll find that. I just wanted to say, on my other podcast on the odd, I spoke to a couple people who are cryptozoologists and, who study Bigfoot and, Sasquatch. And I kind of always bring it up to them that when I was a kid, I always thought that quicksand and Bigfoot were really going to be a really big part of my life when I got older. Oh. And they always like crack up about it because it's kind of true. Like if you grew up in the 70s, you really thought like Bigfoot and quicksand were really going to be a part of your everyday life.
Bigfoot scared me, and quicksand scares me too. So
it's like that as well.
Quicksand is a real thing. I mean, I just don't get. I don't get the. I would have to see it. I don't.
There you go. There it is.
Oh man, this is so funny. I got to start watching that show again. I used to love that show. Jeez.
I had the doll. I had the doll.
Yeah, where you look through the back of his head.
Yeah.
That's one of the shows I'm wondering, like, is it going to hold up if we watch it?
Yeah, it's got to, because you got...
Sort of, yeah.
Lindsay Wagner later, you know, she's a prize piece.
Oh, she was a dick.
Hey, oh, man, I loved her. I'm looking at her right now because I was looking for her TV special.
You know...
Smoking.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to look into it. Also, those Ripley episodes I have to start digging up. Chris Cooley, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us tonight and spend this nearly 2 hours on a 45-minute episode.
No problem.
That's Forgotten TV. Forgotten TV.
Forgotten.tv.
Awesome show. Awesome voice. He has a great voice. Fantastic. Great.
It's definitely a podcast that people should be subscribing to, especially if they want to learn a lot about the era of television that you cover, which, like you said before, is 70s and 80s, that mm-hmm. retro era. And yeah, you know, it's really great. But David, you know, you have a lot to bring to the table too with all of this. You know, I think I'm looking forward to this, to your project that you're working on about bringing it to the forefront about cable and the era of cable TV.
Cable television, yes. From the beginning, from its humble beginnings, all the way to what we have now. Which is so much more.
And Chris Hassler again, working very hard on the Christmas episode, a music episode for VHS Rewind.
Coming soon to a podcast near you.
And me, well, I'm just constantly editing everything. So if you know this podcast, I've already sold everything to you, so I'm not even going to plug it.
But, that's a scare.
Yeah, exactly. But, thanks a lot, guys. I really do appreciate it. And hopefully we can, even squeeze in a New Year episode. That would be kind of fun. I was thinking about a commercial episode where we just kind of review our favorite commercials of the era.
From back in the day.
Oh, that's fun.
It's kind of fun. That, it's simple. It's tough. Easy.
Does anyone know a commercial back from the 80s? For a board game called Pizza Party.
No.
It was called Pizza Party. It had a jingle. It was Party, Pizza Party. And it was a stupid board game. But that one I was just thinking. Party, Pizza Party. Yeah, there you go. Party,
Pizza Party. Oh my God, this is racist.
Hey, look here. There's a brand new game. Pizza Party. That's the name. You make a pizza, as you can see, with onions, mushrooms, or pepperoni. You can lose if you have to switch, so you'd better be sharp. You better be slick.
Party. Pizza Party.
Come on.
Party.
There you
pizza
go.
Party.
It's not bad. It looks pretty fun.
Yeah.
No, I never heard of that.
Wow. Played it all the time during afternoon cartoons.
What's your favorite? Real quick, yeah. Chris Cooling, what's your favorite commercial right off the top of your head? The first one that pops into your mind.
Commercial?
Or, you know, something like David thought of this as a jingle, you know, kind of stuck with him.
I don't know. I always like Mac Tonight from McDonald's. It's Mac Tonight.
Hold on, I gotta play tonight.
Yeah, Doug Jones. Doug Jones was Mac Tonight, and he'll still sing it to you if you go up to him at his booth at any of the shows.
When the clock strikes half past six, babe.
Is this the right thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Time to head for Golden Light. It's a good time.
What about you?
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that 100 times, 1,000. Mm-hmm. What about you, Christopher Hassler?
I really cannot think of anything. A commercial.
I'm having a tough time too.
I can't. You know, unless it was for like an ABC TV movie coming up or something to do with movies coming up.
I'm gonna play the one that I kind of
And while you're looking that up, the Mac Tonight costume, you may have seen this in my Facebook feed, was recently auctioned on the Prop Store auction website, mm-hmm. and it went for $6,875.
Oh, that's not bad, really.
And truly, truly frightening. Once you take off the sunglasses, my God. What, something that's going to haunt your soul.
This is something that has haunted my soul, this particular commercial.
What are you doing in the kitchen at 3 a.m. in the morning, Alice?
Having a breakfast treat, George.
But breakfast isn't for another 4 hours.
I'm not having breakfast. I'm having a Stella Doro breakfast treat.
Is there a difference?
Breakfast, you eat at breakfast time. Breakfast treats, you eat anytime.
Not bad. But if they're good anytime, Alice, why do they call them breakfast treats?
George, don't talk. Eat.
Stella Doro breakfast treats.
It's
There's
me.
No long time to eat them.
Wow.
I'm sure you guys have heard the Patton Oswalt take on that. It's very funny. But, any requests real quick, Chris Hessler?
I can't think of anything. All right. Sorry.
All right. So we're going to leave it off at that. Thanks for the... Wow.
Kind of an anticlimactic ending there.
Yeah, sorry.
There you go. How about the Elvis game or something? I don't know. Is that even real?
Well, that's our Christmas show, and we want to thank our favorite Santa Claus, William Conrad.
Thank you, Sonny.
For being here to help us wish you all the merriest Christmas ever.
You know, Bill, Chastity's got a question she wants to ask you.
She has?
Yeah.
What is it, Chastity?
Go ahead, ask.
Are you really Santa Claus?
No, not really, darling. But you know something? That reminds me of another very famous question that was asked a long time ago. Some 76 years ago, a little girl very much like you by the name of Virginia O'Hanlon wrote to a newspaper, the New York Sun, and asked a question. And her letter read, "Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus?" And a very wise man, whose name was Francis P. Church, wrote an editorial in answer to the question. And you know what he said? Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. Alas, how dreary would be the world if there were no Santa Claus. It would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. Nobody sees Santa Claus. But that is no sign there is no Santa Claus. For the most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men can see. Did you ever see fairies dancing on the lawn? No, of course not. But that's no proof they're not there. Nobody can conceive or imagine all the wonders there are, unseen and unseeable, in this world. No Santa Claus? Thank God he lives, and he lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood.
Good night, everybody. God bless you, and Merry Christmas.